Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Hour 3? Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School to New School Way on this beautiful day. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Grades Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt slash in O'Chaney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. A lot going on. Obviously, the first hour was a great hour, talking about grilling and chilling. And then, obviously, we dove into a little bit of trapness with Nebraska. And a little bit of NFL flexing their muscle. Eagles are the benefactor, and more importantly, Jalen Carter, which is an interesting, kind of, I guess, look and see because, he comes in the league with some off-the-field issues. So we'll see how it goes. But, Austin, let's dive into a little bit of college football because we ended yesterday with Ryan Day pushing back against the one-time transfer portal. And said it doesn't make sense. Well, without hesitation, guess who pushed back on him? The SEC coaches. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's just a power play on both parts, but also trying to unify against the Big Ten and get their position or their seat at the table or their seat at the throne, which they want back so badly. Which doesn't have any outcome on how this goes. I mean, obviously, you just got the two power broker conferences and head coaches going back and forth. But more importantly, it won't affect it, the play on the field, but it probably won't affect decision making, whether they go to one or not. I think they'll reluctantly get to it.
I think they end up loving it.
I think they end up loving it. But I think before you do any of that, and I'm serious. If you want to fix college football, as soon as you start collecting checks, you locked in for, I said 3 years yesterday, at least two, for sure. Two full years.
That can even be including the redshirt year?
I would say three.
Or should redshirt be an unpaid from rev share, NIL?
I strongly believe they need to have a rookie salary cap or a freshman salary cap. But if you don't want to have a freshman salary cap, I would say, I don't know. I think you need to do like the declaring for the NFL type of thing. Maybe you need to be out of high school for 3 years. You know what I mean?
Just like the draft.
You can't go in the portal until then. I mean, they're starting to give potentially the 5 years, no matter what, to play. So essentially, I could have went to college for 6 years, right? You redshirt, and then you get 5 years to play. That's what I was last thing I heard. So you could go, right? So if that's the case, then you do it for 3 years. Then you have the other 3 years to do it after that. And then and the reason why I say that is because, we were running out of time is that in the NFL, I could just go off when I was, going through, different negotiations and contracts. Is like, I could be under contract. Okay. Like, for instance, I could, when I first got into the league, right, into Buffalo, played a little bit, end up starting a few games, but was making the rookie minimum. Had I not played well or not got any playing time, I'm staying, right? Got to earn my way on this team, special teams, whatever. But I obviously exceeded that. Mm-hmm. So essentially, I could say, okay, I got Buffalo over here on the hook as a young, cheap rookie, and I might not even go to the max of the highest paid player, but I could definitely I could have went and doubled what I could get on a team that was linebacker needy. Mm-hmm. It's no different than in the portal. Why go, roll the dice on a high school kid and you can get a guy that's already done it. You have tangible tape. Why go roll your dice on a rookie, no matter who the rookie is? Obviously, you know,
with rare exceptions.
With exceptions. And you can plug and play a guy that's already, you know, been through at that time a 16-game season, been through a grind, you know, before that, a training camp, maybe viewed me as a ascending player, and then I can go and get money from them. And then I could go and play better there and say, and still be under the rookie like years and say, you know what, I need another one. And then do that every single year while I'm still having a safety net.
Woo.
That's why I say once you start getting it, because the easiest thing is to unionize. That's not going to happen, because when you start to unionize, then people got to start paying insurance premium. Well, if majority of teams can't get you to rev sharing, they definitely aren't going to handle the be able to handle insurance premiums from all athletes, especially football players. Mm-hmm. So to flip that, once guys start getting paid, you locked in, buddy.
The obvious pushback from a lot of people would be, well, what about the coaches? And
what
then
about
the I mean, they can go take another job. You know, they're being paid. They can go to another school. What makes the coaches different than players? It is going to be the key pushback from that.
Okay, well, then you'd have to have, was it amendments or asterisks of, okay, is it your position coach that leaves, or is it your head coach that leaves? Is it your coordinator, and where does he go? Does he make a lateral? I mean, you could get into what ifs all the time, but I will tell you this.
Well, I say there's one other part of that, too.
What?
Do we start getting players bought out? If there's a good enough player, you know.
Then you can do it, yeah.
That's, I'm just saying,
yeah.
It just,
yeah, you're going to pay not only to buy out the contract and then redo that contract, you got to pay the school a buyout fee.
Let's just say hypothetically.
And that will eliminate tampering.
I think not FCS eliminate. Schools would benefit the most from that.
Yes, they would.
Let's just take the example of, like, I don't know, Coy Parrish at Minnesota, or Mikhail Hunter at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Really good players. Let's say their teams take a step back. Minnesota's 6-6. Indiana goes, I don't know,
7-5.
7-5, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia says, hey, you know what? Our secondary needs some help. Or Clemson says our secondary needs some help. Coy Parrish, what do you think? You know, I don't think he's the type of kid to throw a stink. But what about, I don't know, maybe like a Kawan Lacy at Ole Miss?
With Ole Miss, yeah.
Up numbers on a team that's maybe, you know, not going to have the year that they want to again. He gets toward the end of the season, it's midseason, and Ole Miss is 4-2 or, you know, 6-3, whatever. And he's like, no, I'm not going to play anymore. You can keep me around, but I'm not playing, kind of James Harden style. Would the school do what some of the pro teams do and say, you know what, the headache's not worth it, we just got to cut bait? Or do they, you start getting player hold-ins till they get more money to make it, quote-unquote, worth their while to play? Or would a coach go to his board, his GM, you know, his president, whatever, and say, hey, this is a really talented player. He's a headache right now. Front me the money so I can cut him.
Yeah, you could get into all that, but the money isn't going to be there to make that decision all the time. And the money isn't going to be there to buy out. So you're going to
adds leverage for who?
The players. Yeah, but also it also is leverage for the coaches as well. Because therefore, you don't have to have continuous conversations with guys walking in with their hand out without any accountability. So I like it. Also, you know, one thing I really like is, say, for instance, say I'm in college and you have me locked into, let's say, a 2+1, right? Or 1+2. So say like I redshirted and then my real 2-year contract comes in for 2 years. Mm. So in between those 3 years, head coach leaves after year one and I'm locked in. Okay, that's fine. He essentially has to pay me or has to play me because I'm getting paid or I'm going to get a fair shot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, well, then you're paying me to chill. And then I'm actually, you know, then I'm eventually going to play and I'll be more appealing to the next team. So by doing it, it really locks everybody in to really try to develop and all that stuff. Now, the thing that you can't stop is like when Georgia had Jake Fromm and then they recruited Justin Fields. You kind of recruited Justin Fields so he wouldn't probably go to Alabama. or the other plethora of quarterbacks they had, and then so they wouldn't go to other SEC teams. Well, then that therefore then you need to have guys need to make a better decision.
Well, and that's kind of what we saw in college baseball. SEC was recruiting guys just so other programs couldn't have them, keeping them on the rosters, not playing them. Baseball Institute's roster limits, not saying it's been perfectly solved, but that helped. It was a step in the right direction. So maybe, on the one hand, the 105 could be good for that reason, right? Yeah. SEC teams can't just recruit a guy so someone else can't have him. But I think as we view this, not fully, but at least partially through the lens of Big Ten versus SEC, I still am not fully sure what to believe just in the middle of the era. There's a big part of me that wants to believe, hey, why are teams catching up to the SEC? Why is the SEC not so dominant? It's because the SEC was cheating before, paying more money under the table than any other conference to get some of this talent there. Now that NIL is legal, it's actually balanced the playing field more than some people thought.
And Nick Saban's gone.
I'm also not so naive as to believe that Big Ten schools,
everybody, maybe Big 12 everybody schools, was paying players.
Right. So
just not as good as the SEC and not as long.
Okay. So if that's the case, I think that explains a lot. But I don't want to go back to a system then where the SEC has this head and shoulders advantage of being better than everyone else at paying under the table.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I mean, it's. I mean, I just think a little bit of clarity, a little bit of, I guess, kind of regulation will go a long way. Now it's going to be tough sledding. It's first world problems for Ohio State because you generally are going to be playing at that time. You're going to have to face some guys leaving in the middle of it because they're going to want to level up and get paid. But that's why you're at the position that you're at. Ohio State is stacked first, second, and third units.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have to do a good job of reassessing your roster, maybe renegotiating it within your roster early.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And maybe you could, you guys can go in the portal, but still be in there. Maybe guys are going to portal and to make you re-up earlier. But that's just part of, you know, Ryan Day getting paid $10 million or whatever he's getting paid. And then having, the staff is big enough where he has two offensive line coaches. One guy's are interior and one's the tackle guy. So the fruits of your labor and your winning, there comes much, expected, and you got to deal with a lot more. So it's tough. Nobody cares.
That's what the money's for.
Yeah, that's what it's for. And yes, is it ideal for you? No. Is it ideal for majority of teams? We'll see. But something has to happen because the way it is right now is not working.
Well, and that's part of it. Is it ideal? No. Is it more fair? Is it more balanced? Is it the way it should have been all along? You can make the argument. I'm not saying one system's perfect. Absolutely not, right? Still plenty of kinks to work through. But, Jay, for so long, so many people, so many bodies have had it pretty cushy. Not saying it's easy work. You know, sure, they put in their own work. But to use your example of the roster building, oh, no, you can't pay these guys under the table to come stack your roster. You actually have to put boots on the ground work into developing your roster out.
They're still going to find a way.
That's what it should have been all along.
The SEC is going to find a way.
But then that goes back to my other point. Ohio State will find a way.
Oregon will find a way. Michigan will find a way. The problem is Nick Saban isn't there. He's not. He's gone. He's hanging out with Pat McAfee of all people. You lost your
North Star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You lost your get out of jail free card. The guy that just always, you always just got instant credibility. There's other great coaches in there, right? Like I like, you know, Missouri's coach stand on business. I think Heupel's good.
But is Heupel a national champion? I don't think so.
No, but you still got really good coaches, but yeah. You don't have that dude. Not yet.
Kirby.
You thought it was, but not to that magnitude. Georgia doesn't look the same. Do they look the same? Do they strike the fear in anybody? No.
I mean, neither did Alabama when they were losing to Utah and Oklahoma in the bowl games.
But you knew
what every was, program deserves a chance to reset.
But you knew exactly what was coming.
Uh-huh.
You knew exactly what was coming. When Andre Smith rolled out there, you knew exactly what was coming.
Correct. And that's where I think it's more of a credit to Nick Saban for making the adjustment that he did when he did. He had to be dragged kicking and screaming into running modern offense.
Yeah,
he needed Lane and Sark and Bill O'Brien to remind him that, hey, Jacob Coker and Greg McElroy and AJ McCarron aren't going to be enough for you moving forward.
Right.
And he did. And that is a testament to him and how good a coach he is on top of whatever advancements he made in recruiting.
Georgia's quarterback?
And Jay, that's exactly my point. Kirby cannot be Nick Saban. He can still be the best coach in the sport.
Oh, he can be. But he's not bringing... See, what Nick Saban...
And I agree, and I think that's healthy for college football right now, that there's not a Nick Saban.
It is, but it's not. Golf ain't the same without Tiger Woods. It never will be.
Correct.
What Nick Saban brought with him, blue blood Alabama, mm-hmm. history.
But he wasn't a sure thing when he first got there.
No, but when he got there, mm-hmm. he brought Bear Bryant with him and Gene Stallings and all those players with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Georgia doesn't have.
Right.
So there is never going to be that again, and that's where the SEC is in trouble. You can fake all this stuff, and you can have Brian Kelly at LSU. This is great. We've seen this before, right? You can do all that, but it's still not the same.
No, you're right.
But that's why they're playing these little games. They're playing little kid games.
Well, it's kind of like you were saying with the Chiefs last year. As soon as they dressed in all green, you knew it was over.
Yeah. You don't need it. You desperation. You Patrick Mahomes. You know what I always said to Patrick Mahomes? I said, do you know who you are?
I am.
You Patrick. He's like Kevin Durant said. You wanted to ask him about Beverly. He said, do you know who I am? I'm Kevin Durant. And that's what it is.
That's the answer.
Yeah, and so mm-hmm. I don't think anything could come of it anytime soon, because then it'll be like, okay, it's going to expand the college football playoffs. So then now you're going to have teams that are not even upset about this January transfer portal. You're going to bring in four more teams because they're going to be mad, because there's going to be four more teams every year. They're going to be playing longer schedules based on, you know, best in expansion that aren't really mad about it right now.
But then you can hear just how the arguments are going to go from the SEC and from the Big Ten. The further the playoffs expand, we're going to start having the same discussion about which conference is best. Not as much based on national championships, but more, oh, we got this many teams in the playoff. Think about Big 12 basketball.
Here comes the curveball.
Think about Big East basketball, right? Sure, Nova had its run. But for them, it's about look what percentage of our teams are in. That's why we are the toughest conference in basketball. SEC last year, Big 10 last year, they've been putting teams in. Big 10 can't hold a candle to gosh dang anyone in terms of national championships in basketball. Yeah. They finally caught back up, you know, well-begotten or ill-begotten in football, depending on how you view it. But the bigger the playoff gets, the less it's going to be about national championships that the SEC has had the ability to hang its hat on for the better part of the last 20 years.
Right, and it's great for the other conferences as well. But here's where the curveball comes in. This is what nobody wants to address. The Big 12 is next in line. Quiet is kept. They aren't backing down.
No.
So...
who's leading the charge, aside from Yormark, who looks like a pretty visionary hire for that?
Right. I mean, but what I'm saying is the play on the field. When you start to say, okay, we have this many teams in the college football playoffs, the Big 12 will look at our body of work, or all our teams, and then look at us against those other two conferences in bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then now they're going to try to change the narrative. So they're going to want a bigger piece of the pie if there ever comes another renegotiation.
When?
Yeah, when. Mm-hmm. When you expand it, all that stuff. And so that's where the SEC is in trouble, where the Big Ten probably feels like, okay, where they have it covered, right? You got some good young coaches at big, like, name brand universities. And as long as everybody performs well, like Matt Rhule in Nebraska, you know, starts to be on the uptick. Lincoln Riley in USC, they need to have a good year. And Oregon has a good year. And then you got Mr. Lightskin over there in Penn State and James Franklin. And then you got Ryan Day in his prime at Ohio State. You're going to assume either Sherrone Moore gets it going, on the toilet or get off. And whoever comes in next is going to try to get right up there with him. And that's not even counting the Brett Bielema's and all these other guys.
Nebraska, USC.
Yeah, I've already cited those, but I'm talking about the second tier.
Oh, got
the guys that have had good seasons, whether it's Minnesota and Illinois. And they both had better seasons in Nebraska than last year.
Yeah.
They don't have the name power. But if they continue to do so, there's only so much Lane Kiffin and Paul Finnebaum can do joking back and forth. There's only so much that Brian Kelly can do. Even though I think Brian Kelly's a good coach, he just doesn't bring it. There's only so much. Sark definitely can. Venables, I don't think at a national level, but coaching-wise, I think he's a really good coach. But we're working harder naming their coaches than in the Big Ten.
Right.
And that's where they're in a problem. Kirby Smart is already there. Stand on businesses in close proximity. Josh Heupel, just because we know,
I put Heupel before Drinkwitz right now. I know you like Drinkwitz more.
Do you?
How many college football playoffs has Missouri been to?
None.
How many has Tennessee been to?
One.
More in Missouri. I think Tennessee's also.
Who do you trust more though?
Neither right now. Like I prefer Drinkwitz as a coach.
What type of diarrhea you like?
No, thank you. But I also think, Jay, we have to talk about the brand, right? Fair or not.
Tennessee's ahead. Yeah,
Tennessee's ahead. Even if, I tend to prefer Drinkwitz as a coach,
Tennessee
his style a little bit more. Tennessee gets the nod.
And then you have a blue blood or
quasi
in Florida that's nowhere in the conversation.
No.
They are dumpster fire, being sued for NIL transactions or ghost contracts. And Napier, who is... It was a great hire when you thought because of what he did prior. But then I think once he got there, I know we're going to break. Florida, like, I always feel like when I always talk about the Cleveland Browns or, like, when guys take over places in the NFL and, you see it, like, when Bill Parcells or guys would come, they would just get rid of everybody or the players included. Like, there's not all bad players there. You're sure you want to change the culture. Florida is a place, unfortunately, that if I took the job, everybody needs to go. Like in the building. You have to. Because even outside of it, you can't even do the collective right.
Right?
Anybody associated with that stuff. Like if they got new people there, then obviously you want to do whatever. But over the last, let me say, okay, what you had Shark Anando. Remember him? The dude in the shark, and then his wife was selling barbecue sauce.
Yes.
Remember him?
Yes.
Right? So him. And then was it Dan Mullen? And then him.
Muschamp was there.
West Camp. Yeah. Will Muschamp. And then you got Napier. But everything around it has been chaos. And it's not even on the field. It's just administration-wise. So I would have to come in. You had to be lock and step with the AD. Double lock and step with the president.
Which, that's another fascinating situation because...
You don't want to be there either.
Well, former
Michigan,
Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse became president of Florida. His wife had the health issue. He stepped down.
Yeah, that's right.
Florida's board wanted Michigan's guy. They interviewed Michigan's guy, and then the board rejected him.
Yeah.
So they don't have president right now.
Because of the Harbaugh stuff, right?
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Again.
But would you rather be Florida or USC right now?
In what way?
In general, football. Two programs in a similar-ish spot.
USC.
You'd rather be USC?
Here's why I'd like to rather be USC.
Jay Foreman loves income tax. More at six.
Oh, you talking about I would rather coach?
Would you rather turn around USC or Florida right now? Would you rather be hired to be the head coach?
Florida.
At Florida.
It's easy. Okay. Now, I'll tell you what I need to do. I got to come in. And I got to do my thing. I think there's more. I think there's more talent there. I think they recruited there. Here's the problem with
USC. A little tougher than Cali kids, maybe.
Yeah. And I think, coaching Florida, because I think the turnaround looks better at Florida because of all those things that we mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, part of the reason why PJ Fleck is a good coach, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest thing that he's been able to do is kind of like, you know, leapfrog off of what Jerry Killingham did, but he's been able to kind of like take whatever his football kind of like program and really almost clean up the issues that they've had before him. You know, he's kind of like reshaped the whole thing, right? Whereas like I think at UCLA or USC, the reason why I initially said USC is because their direct competition at UCLA is so weak. So then therefore you're always ahead of the game. Whereas mm-hmm. Florida State's playing good, Miami's playing good, you just saw South Florida, UCF, you know, let alone if Florida Atlantic does anything. Not on the same magnitude. Mm-hmm. But what Florida's doing, it's harder because the two main competitors are ahead of you right now. And they mm-hmm. seem like they're in a better, like...
Well, think about that situation for a second, too. Miami clearly ahead of Florida right now. Think about last year for Florida State.
Yeah, 2-10.
But also 2 years ago for Florida State. I mean, what is Florida State? They don't know. But they're seemingly on the upswing, but they're, the way they've started their year, Florida's just floundering. And, I mean, the toughest schedule this side of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but, right. Man, Florida, you're... Now's time like the present to get it right.
Well, you ended the season pretty good. You knocked a couple teams off out of the playoff hunt, you know, at the end of the season. So you came in with, I call it revisionist history. You kept referring back to that, and you kind of like maybe didn't really fix it, what's needed in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have I think it's an ugly loss to South Florida because of the way Florida played versus how South Florida played. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's ugly by the brand.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just didn't look, I mean, it just wasn't a good look. And that's the thing that we're real quick before we go to break is where when you end the season the way Florida did, you feel like we've had a breakthrough and we, you know, got better at some of those things. Well, then they view losing to South Florida and the celebration as a step back.
Yeah.
So that's where they're at. So anyways, we covered everything with that. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll talk a little bit of Nebraska, both short-term and long-term. We did a little bit of top 25 talk, what Nebraska needs to do. Can we get a little bit of Big Ten bias coming into the game 10 days from now? Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Old school, little college football, just a little run around. A lot going on outside of Nebraska, which obviously people don't understand, but it does. You know, everybody loves to hate Colorado. Colorado Dion, what's up, baby? This is prime. Prime time has in going into week three is going to have three different starters at quarterback.
Woo, Martin Luther Staub.
Yeah. who was just chilling
like a villain.
Yeah. On the sidelines, stuck it out, give him credit. It hasn't been announced yet, but, Caden Salter, who came, via the transfer portal, started the first game. Julian Lewis, who is from Georgia. I think he's from Grayson, I think, because Dayton Ryle is at Buford, I think. But he was a five-star recruit. Remember, he was, I think he was going to USC.
Carrollton. But still a big one.
Yeah, and they beat Buford.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I knew there was a connection. Mm-hmm. But he was originally, I think, going to USC, right? And then Colorado flipped him, right, mm-hmm. on Shedeur Sanders' podcast,
yeah.
Right? Well, and then he started week two. And he's still a freshman. And then Ryan Staub came in a relief. Against Delaware, 7-10, 157 yards, 2 touchdowns. And it says the staff has indicated that Schaub will be the starter this week. So I think right now, you know, and they said he was spotted with working with the first team on Monday and open media period and all that. I think up there at Colorado, it's just, you know, the hot hand or whoever, you know, takes control of the reins as a quarterback. I don't think this is by any means, you know, over. But it's an interesting look-see after you have obviously, in their mind, a legendary quarterback, a really, really good quarterback, award-winning quarterback, and obviously some really good players all over. Obviously, Travis Hunter and Shiloh and all the other Streeter and all those guys. Now it's after, and now you just say, okay, well, at one point you knew or thought Lewis was it. Now you're getting a guy that you never thought of.
When does Colorado need to have an answer? I mean, Salter probably wasn't cheap. Good quarterback at the G5 level. Lewis is a 5-star, probably not cheap.
Mm.
And yet here you are with your third stringer starting, and that's not a knock on him. That's just a testament to the day and age where sometimes you do overpay. Sometimes you do make a wrong decision in the transfer portal, or your guy's not quite ready yet out of high school, whatever the situation is. Number one, I'm impressed that Deion Sanders has the wherewithal to make this move. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised by it. He's proven he's a good football coach.
Yeah.
So maybe I shouldn't be as surprised about it as I am, but especially in this day and age of college athletics, kind of a gutsy move to go to your third stringers just sitting there chilling over two relatively reputable guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And it's hard because all quarterbacks aren't made the same. You just never know who's going to develop when they get to college, who's going to come in, develop, who's going to be actually, you know, as good as everybody says they are or they think they are. And whether it's like Salter coming over, yeah, you're good, you know, where you're at before. But that just is like a start. Just because you were good at one place doesn't mean that you're going to be good, in this case, say, like at Nebraska. You have to sometimes reinvent yourself, but you got to, you know, really prove yourself. Now, look, it's a lot easier to play quarterback when Travis Hunter is out there and all that, and Horn and all those guys. Mm-hmm. And so you're not able to just replace those guys. Now, I think they run the ball significantly better than they did last year.
Yeah.
That offensive line is a lot better mm-hmm. than it has been and it was last year. So it's a different type of offense. And I'm almost willing to say it's a defensive-led team. So maybe Staub is playing the position of quarterback mm-hmm. better than Lewis and Salter. I don't think the door is closed on Lewis more. I think the door is probably more closed on Salter, but definitely open for Lewis, because I think at the end of the day, Lewis, his runway has got to be a lot longer. Mm-hmm. But it's a good example of quarterback play. I always say this. If I was, you know, got a son that's going to play football, and of course, you know, everybody, he's going to play linebacker. If he's big enough and has a good enough arm, you're playing quarterback. The quarterback play in all levels, from peewee league, middle school, high school, college, and pros, is horrible. Like, overall, horrible. Mm-hmm. Horrible. That's why guys in the NFL defensively got these overblown stats. It's like dudes are just throwing it right to you. The defenses aren't that confusing. You're just that bad.
Or maybe it's not that confusing because you know what you're doing. And you did it for 9 years.
Yeah, but the amount of guys just getting layups here, throwing take it right this. To you, take this, is not as good.
Would you consider Tua throwing that interception to Laiatu Latu, one of those?
Maybe that's a little like Island Love or something, you know. But I mean, you look at it, even you look at for example, Caleb Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he sent a guy in motion against the Vikings with 4 seconds left in the play clock.
Whoops.
I'm talking about playing the, like, everybody's going to be like, okay, arm strength, you know, they can run more. Yeah, I don't want to hear
pocket mobility.
That sounds great. Yeah. That's great. You know when that's good? That's good for when you show a couple plays on Instagram. I'm talking about how to win your win ability. It is not taught. It's not accepted from a player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see a lot of such turnover.
Do you think we're in a spot with Colorado where it's Miller Moss to Jaden Maiava 2.0?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see some similarities there?
I do. I still think that was a little bit way too quick.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Miller Moss looked real good in that bowl game.
Well, Miller Moss wasn't nobody. He was a 4-star recruit himself.
Right. But he looked good in that bowl game after mm-hmm. Williams. You know, we'll see. I just think some of the things that people fall in love with to get either initial star rankings or drafted, is not going to win at the highest levels. And that's obviously college now. Now, I think these two guys, I think this Staub thing is like, look, you also sense the pressure of Colorado. Because as much as, you know, they were able to have all the sellouts and the celebrities on the sidelines, well, the other side of that is all the fans, the you know, the powers that be. Now they got expectations. They think Shedeur Sanders and these guys just come every year. Well, that's why as a head coach, you can't, you know, you have to really keep the standard the same and really keep adding to the standard. So you have to do anything and everything not to lose that game against Delaware. Mm-hmm. You have to make a decision, because normally you want to let the freshmen learn. We did it. And now look at, we're getting the payoff of it. Right now, you got to do what you got to do. And so it's a hard thing to do after some success. And that the hardest thing to do is to be able to deal with success.
And I think for Deion Sanders, it's proved that he's always been the steak, where Shedeur and Travis Hunter can be the sizzle. It comes and goes. But Deion Sanders has to validate, to your point, that he's more than just those guys. So far, off to an all right start. Not perfect, the way they lost to Georgia Tech, absolutely. But I do still think Deion is a good coach. It's on Colorado then to not get caught up in the sizzle, the side dishes and everything. Obviously, good players help you win ball games. You know, if Colorado has a quarterback as accurate as Shedeur, and, you know, even a wide receiver and a cornerback as good at either position as Travis Hunter was at both of them, they will be better. So this isn't to say that Deion can win with anybody. No, he still needs talent, which you can get to Colorado, not exactly the world's easiest thing.
Yeah.
But that's where Colorado's administration, for the good of that university and football program that I know plenty of Huskers and Husker fans are rooting against, can't allow itself to get caught up in that wave of, oh, well, we don't have all the hoopla that Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter bring. They have to be more concerned about, is Deion Sanders bringing in the next wave of good players
and developing
and developing?
Too. Yeah, and he's had a lot of turnover from players. Obviously, lose star players, great players, legendary players. I mean, Travis Hunter won the Heisman, but then you lost Phil Loadholt, your offensive line coach, and I think they lost the assistant defensive line coach as well, Damian Lewis. I think Damian Lewis is an interior defensive line coach at the University of Miami, I think now. But when you look at Colorado's schedule here real quick, right? They're going to Houston on Friday. Okay, that's going to be a dogfight, you know. And then you got Wyoming. Well, then you got BYU at home. They're no punk.
Nope.
Okay, then you go to TCU. Are you thinking about payback? TCU is going to be ready. Woo! Okay, then you got Iowa State at home. Then you go to Utah. You go to, you just be glad you don't got to go to BYU. Okay, then you play Arizona, to West Virginia, which is a hard, it's kind of like
weird trip for you.
Weird trip, right? It's kind of like Virginia Tech for Duke.
Right.
And then you got Arizona State at home, which I think Arizona State will be bounced back. And then the last game of the season, you go to Kansas State. So when you think about making that decision against Delaware after a hard loss at Georgia Tech, when they were questioning your clock management and all that stuff, you have to, roster management is huge. So let's take a quick break and come back. Let's talk about the unique story coming out of Indiana with their starting quarterback. And we talked about precedence before at the NFL. Can he win his legal case? He gets a two-week reprieve. We'll see what happens. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, quick segment before we turn it over to the Lighthouse on Wednesday. Lighthouse Wednesday, they do a really good job. LincolnLighthouse.org. Keep up with everything that they do in and around the community. Appreciate their support, but more importantly, appreciate what they do. But I was talking about the unique story coming out of, where's Indiana at? Bloomington, Indiana. Their starting quarterback, I wish his name was Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore. No.
What is his name? What's his name? Is it Brandon Moore?
I don't remember.
Well, anyways, their starting quarterback or cornerback played JUCO what would be 6 years ago. then transferred to Mississippi, and then obviously transferred to Indiana with the assumption that he would be eligible for this year for his sixth year of eligibility based on the Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt's quarterback getting an extra year eligibility, mm-hmm. And multiple guys, and then obviously with the new ruling in the NCAA that JUCO doesn't count against you. Mm-hmm. Well, he played in the first two games. Well, you had an initial hearing; it got pushed back. He played the two games and had another hearing. Which said that there will be another hearing in 2 weeks, so now he gets to play two more games. It reminds me of the North Carolina receiver that had
Des Walker.
Des Walker that had this is when the transfer portal was very, very new, and it had to be a family issue, and it really hit every single check mark, and they still took a long time. So hopefully,
but see, that one was okay because Carolina's gotten up so easy with so much other stuff. Yeah. They deserved to have.
They needed to have a feel good story. But with this, there with Lewis Moore, it's interesting because he's out there playing. Now, what do you say? Okay,
you get pick in each of the first two games,
but you played four games, and then what are you gonna say? You can't play the other eight,
right?
And he went to JUCO, and you already had the precedent. You should already just say, okay, you got me, or you're able to take advantage of the rules like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see because he's a big part of their defense. He's a big part of their team right now because they're not scoring at the same clip as last year. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
How much of that is on just continuity early in the season? Do you think Mendoza's still good for them? You think
Surratt's good enough?
Is it the running game maybe taking a step back?
I just think that you caught a lot of people by surprise. People know you now. They have more tape. You're not going to, you're going to probably run a couple different concepts. It's not much different, and you have people's attention. You're getting their best shot now. You went from the hunter to the hunted, and so that's the difference. But also, I think it's going to take a little bit more time for Mendoza to get used to playing for Cignetti, and so we'll see where it goes. So, anyways, appreciate you listening. 3 hours, Thirsty Thursday tomorrow. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school to new school, new school way. We'll holler at you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.